Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hey, that's exciting stuff. And you know what's really exciting is that it's a Monday and I've got some special stuff planned. We're doing a fun episode here, guys. We're doing a top five airplane movies.
All right.
And the thing about airplane movies we'll describe a little bit more is that, you know, they're not necessarily maybe the most popular, best movies in the world, but they're particular types of movies that you want to watch on airplanes. But first,
yeah,
couple things we haven't done in a while. I'm going to play a voicemail. This might be the best voicemail we've ever heard and received as a podcast.
Okay.
So let's start here.
Gentlemen, this is James, a big fan, really big fan, honestly. So that's why it kind of pains me to have to make this call. Oh. I'm calling on behalf of the Black delegation of Iowa. Oh. Yes, it does BDI. Exist. Yes, there are only four members. It recently came to our attention that you reviewed 101 Dalmatians, in which, and let me make sure I get this straight, a dog presents himself in blackface.
Well, yep, yep.
Yeah. So I played a clip at our last meeting at Popeyes, and, you know, there was a lot of debate, some back and forth, but ultimately we decided that we could let it slide under a couple conditions. One, we will need AJ to join the Black delegation full time. It'll be fine.
What an
honor.
He does
accents. He does dialects. You know, I haven't seen his legs, but I'm sure they're quite pasty. But nothing a little sun couldn't cure. Second, and this is a big one, we're going to need all black spots removed from Dalmatians. You know, I think it's only fair. And it's going to be tough. But trust me, my kids love Paw Patrol. Marshall, fan favorite. They're going to have to get over it. I mean, it's just what has to happen. So that being said, you know, we really love you guys. We want you to keep up the good work. Yeah, just keep trucking. Look forward to hearing your response to our terms in the very near future so we can move forward amicably. Thanks a lot, boys. Take it easy.
What did he say? James?
James.
James, I'm not quite sure who you are, but that is a fantastic voicemail. And on behalf of TCB to the BDI,
right.
we're very honored that you listen and that you at least brought this to our attention.
They were even on your radar.
Yeah,
I know.
And I think those terms are very doable.
I think so too. Might take a while for the Dalmatians thing, but I think we can at least put it in place.
We can get it started.
We can get it started.
Yeah. Right. There's some higher ups that we have to go through, like, you know, PETA and stuff, but I think we could get it done.
Don't even know what that stands for, to be honest. So.
Like the bread. I think, I think it's like the bread.
Gotcha, gotcha.
But my legs are very much what you've described. And
are you willing to join?
I will. I'd be honored to join.
All right.
I've been working on my Denzels and my Morgan Freemans. So, you know.
That's ego too.
We're fucking doomed.
Thank you, James. That was fantastic.
Please. So do we get just like a bunch of whiteout and
I don't know what the, I think he wants us to genetically start breeding them so that their spots are not involved.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure how to do that, but I think that's what they want us to do.
There have to be professionals out there we can call on.
You're grandfathered in if you already have the black spots, but
yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Okay.
Well that was fun. Another thing we got to do is, you know, if you're a fantastic member at our patreon.com/confusedbreakfast, one of the perks for the upper tiers is that you do get to give us your modern day ratings on some of the movies we've done. And it helps us kind of find out where we were right or wrong. We trust you more than us. A lot of times we think you as a collective are smarter than we are.
Oh, yeah.
So here's a couple. We did Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. We gave it, as a group, a 7.03. Patreon pretty much confirmed that. The Patreon people said 7.17.
Okay.
Pretty spot on there. Here's a big discrepancy, boys. St. Elmo's Fire.
Uh-oh.
This might have been my fault. I was feeling something kind of special. I gave St. Elmo's Fire a pretty high rating. As a group, we were a 6.74. Patreon was a 4.58.
Oh. Dead on, Patreon.
They were dead.
Why you're the smartest.
Yeah, you get it.
Another one here, Role Models. We gave it an 8.05. Patreon, a 7.72. Now, there is a slight discrepancy there. I'm not going to call them out. Yeah. I can see who gives what ratings. Someone gave it a 0.
In the Patreon?
In the Patreon.
Wow.
So they either did that by mistake or they really hate Paul Rudd or something like that.
Well, are we implementing is it IMDb or a Rotten Tomatoes rule where you cannot actually do a 0? You have to do a 1 or not.
So then, okay, let's say that vote does not exist. That takes it to a 7.91. And we were an 8.05. Pretty good. And the last one, you know, we got a little down on this. Son-in-law, we were a 6.95. Patreon feels much more nostalgic about that at a 7.65.
Wow.
Okay.
So they think we probably did a little dirty on Son-in-law, but
done did dirt.
I feel that, man. Yeah. That movie it got me. The nostalgia, it was hard to strip away.
Yep.
For me.
Yeah. So consider joining and supporting and directly sponsoring the show. Patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. Tons of awesome perks. And the people that have been donating there have been the absolute reason why we're able to do these Monday brunch shows.
Yeah.
So
literally, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, the reason you're hearing this is the reason because of you guys. So thank you so much. And that takes us to our topic today. We're talking top 5 airplane movies. And we've kind of touched on this before randomly in episodes where... we'll get into this a little bit. What makes a perfect movie to watch on an airplane for you, Sean?
For me, I really think that it's a combination of a comfort movie and something that maybe is more recent that you would not even think of going to the theater to see. But when you see it available on your plane,
you're scrolling
ride,
on that
you're
screen.
You're scrolling along.
You're scrolling along.
And you see that movie, like, oh, that looked kind of interesting. Boom. I am doing nothing right now. Literally, I'm waiting. I am just waiting. So, like, a lot of times it is newer movies for me. So, like, when we were on a plane together, it was Scream 5. I never checked it out, and I checked it out on the plane and liked it. You know, it was a fine movie.
But you're saying you wouldn't have clicked it at home, probably.
Probably not. It's just a weird discrepancy of, like, when I see it come across on Amazon, I'm looking at stuff, I just do not do it. But on a plane, it's different. And then, like I said, it is a comfort thing as well. I know the franchise, and so I know kind of what to expect from a slasher movie, and it'll get me through the plane ride.
So I will agree with you mostly. I do think that it's not something that I'm going to click at home, perhaps. And I find that it can't be a new movie for me. It has to strictly be comfort. Because you're on a plane, you're not always able to pay 100% perfect attention to the movie.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I like to know that I've seen it before. I know what happens. I can feel comfortable in it, but I don't necessarily like have to always be paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. And for me, a big thing we'll talk about later, I'm always drinking on an airplane. So it has to meet a very particular criteria of movies for me when I'm drinking.
Yeah.
What about you, AJ?
Well, I might be a little different on that then, because I need something that it can hold my attention. Like you say, it's hard to pay attention sometimes to movies. You get the headphones you get handed are kind of crummy because you got to plug in.
Yep.
Something along those lines, right? It should be something new enough that is going to hold my attention that I can pay attention to. It should be, or it should be something that I'm familiar with enough that I can have like one headphone in.
Correct.
And yeah. and be able to like wait until like, cause I see that drink cart coming. I'm like,
and you
want to, you kind of do the pretend thing where you're like, oh, you're here. Okay, great.
oh, it's my turn. No,
but you always do it too far in advance. Cause you're thinking like, oh, they're only a minute away. Nope. Yeah. Nope. Okay.
Oh, I got to rewind. Cause I missed that kind of part. So there's kind of that dance you have to do on airplanes. But I gave an example of this a few brunches back. I watched one, and it's not on my list or anything, so no spoilers here. But I saw it. I had not seen it before, and I was like, that's going to be a plane movie for me. And it was The Equalizer 3.
Hell yeah, dude.
And I'm like, dude.
Perfect.
This is – it's enough action. It's familiar enough because mm-hmm. I love Denzel mm-hmm. movies. Like, there's just something, and I know what The Equalizer is about. So it's kind of like I've seen it, but I kind of haven't.
Gotcha.
You know, I haven't obviously seen it, but that's what it is to me.
Yeah.
And
good example.
It's an exciting movie that will hold my attention, but I don't have to finish it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we do have an executive producer joining us today, Michael Giuliano. We asked him what he thought his perfect airplane movie is.
Okay.
He said, it's something you can pick up without any backstory, maybe without having to worry about sequels or prequels, and preferably something you could have caught in theaters, but just didn't for a variety of reasons. Basically, the same rules as checking something out on streaming, but give it this sort of time restraint. You basically have to watch this movie for the duration of the flight because you're not sure when you're going to be able to see it again. And if the movie has some ties to travel and or airplanes, that's just a bonus.
Mm, okay.
So that's what Michael's going into it
thinking. I see that. We got a little similarities there. I honestly prefer it not being about travel or planes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, some people are – there are some fun – travel ones that it's fun to be about. There's some ones that, you don't want to watch that.
No.
We're not watching Castaway on an airplane.
No, we are not.
We're not watching that scene in Castaway while you're on an airplane.
No.
And maybe you got a slight fear of turbulence and flying and stuff.
Yeah. But I feel like people are going to see this title, and it's important to clarify. We're not talking about airplane movies. We're talking about movies to watch on an airplane.
We'll have to come with a creative way to make sure people understand that.
Yeah. What?
Maybe a parenthesis.
Yes, to watch. I thought I was going to get. There's not that many airplane movies anyway. But
I thought we were going to talk about airplane.
Do we have any honorable mentions that we want to discuss?
I do.
What do you got, man?
I am going to go with Scream 5. That was a perfect airplane watch for me. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent is a movie that I have downloaded on my phone specifically
just for airplanes.
The Way, Way Back is a comfort movie for mm-hmm. me. I'm going to go Payback with Mel Gibson. Just a great action thriller crime movie.
Heck yeah.
Love that movie. Fear Street series on Netflix. My fiance and I were traveling somewhere, I think Portland, and we had those. Oh, there was three movies on Netflix that they released that we had all three of them downloaded. So we watched one and two of them on the way there. And then on the way back, we watched a third. Great fucking plane movies. Only Lovers Left Alive, because it's got something familiar for me. There's a lot of like music and guitar porn in that movie, mm-hmm. which just makes me feel comfortable. And it's about vampires, so that's another thing.
Nice.
Game Night, a great, great comedy. Just fun, and I can watch it anytime, and it'll make me feel great. Sin City 1 and 2. Now there's going to be kind of a theme on here where it's like, oh, I liked that movie, and I hadn't seen the sequel yet. So I'm going to watch the sequel because I would never press play at home.
Okay.
So there's going to be kind of a theme there for me. Those are the ones I got. I do have some joke ones for you guys. I'm going to go with The Night Flyer.
I don't know that.
Okay. It's a good, like, kind of a Stephen King one. Air.
I don't know if I know Air.
Is that
either.
That's the new one with Adam Ben Affleck.
Oh,
and,
yes.
I got you. I see what you're doing. Okay, I see what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Arrival. Geneva.
Get it?
Because you're arriving there.
Yeah, yeah.
Up in the Air.
I actually really like that movie.
George Clooney is kind of a good one.
Okay. I do too, actually. Yeah. I really like that one.
Plane.
Oh.
With Gerard Butler.
Wow.
It's kind of a fun one. I like Gerard Butler a lot. And Flight 93. Now, we can move on to one of you guys.
Okay. Yeah. Flight 93. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wowzers.
You got any honorables?
I got some honorables. I do. Actually, Up in the Air was one of my honorables. So wanted that.
Oh, great.
To,
it's a joke to Sean, but it's serious to you.
It's really serious to me, actually. So thanks for making a joke out of, you know, my, anyways. But no, Up in the Air, it's a great movie because
agreed.
It's about George Clooney he goes around and basically fires people. Yeah. He's part of a firm. He's a consultant in Office Space.
He runs that company now.
He basically runs that company.
He's but Bob.
He is constantly flying around the country, and it's like he's gathering up all these miles and stuff. I don't
it's
know.
Great it's, observations about traveling and the art of traveling.
It really is. Yeah. And I actually took a lot from it. But Anna Kendrick is great in that yes. movie, and kind of turning his job and, you know, all the travel that his job and all the people that do his job really do, and like getting rid of the expense of it all, mm-hmm. trying to do it virtually, and him saying you can't do this virtually. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a great movie. I think if you haven't seen it, you should definitely should. Equilibrium,
nice.
Oh, it's like I think it's such an underrated sci-fi movie. At least just the way I came about that movie, but Equilibrium with Christian Bale, so good. I decided to do this one as an honorable mention, 310 to Yuma.
Fuck yeah.
That's a great one.
That's a
great movie.
It's so good, dude. And if you watch that, I think it's a great plane movie. To watch that on a plane, it's a great one if you have it or you find it on there. Last one I will say, it's kind of a random one, but I had one that beat this one out, and it's Death Sentence.
Fuck yeah.
With Kevin Bacon. It's probably one of my favorite Kevin Bacon movies exists. And I love that fucking movie. I shouldn't, but I feel safe in a plane watching those types of movies. So there
That's
you go.
Very directed true. By James Wan, buddy.
There you go.
A couple honorables. I've put these in different categories. Sometimes there are the long flights that you need. You want one movie to do the job.
Yeah.
So you got to pick a longer movie a lot of times. And for me, because these, I don't have the time at home necessarily to watch these, but it'd be like the Lord of the Rings movies or Avatar.
Yeah. Sure.
Things like that where, you know, it's like a 3-hour movie.
Good call.
But I got a 3-hour and 15-minute flight. So let's get it over with now while I'm on the plane instead of at my house.
Right.
Otherwise, I do like travel movies when it's not directly planes, like futuristic stuff like The Martian or Interstellar. I love watching on planes because it's not directly an airplane causing problems here. It's future sci-fi rocket ships. Like, that's fine. Yeah. We're not there. We're not there yet.
Snowpiercer would be another one like that for me. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then I obviously love just like classic comedies and stuff. Dumb and Dumber, Tommy Boy, Billy Madison. If I ever see one of those and I'm nice and drunk, I'm just like, click on those. Michael Giuliano said, couldn't think of any good honorable mentions, so let's swing the other way. My dishonorable mention airplane movies are Castaway, The Twilight Zone movie, and Final Destination for obvious reasons.
There's something on the way, something.
Pretty sure that those movies convinced me to stay off planes for a straight decade. So let's get into our top five. Let's start with Sean on his number five. What do you got, man? Top five movies to watch on an airplane.
Okay, so there's going to be kind of a theme from my top five. I'm going to go, this is a comedy. There will be some comedies and some comfort ones and some action ones on my list. This is going to be Grind and or skate videos.
Oh, just straight up like actual skate videos.
Yes. Have you guys seen the movie Grind?
No.
No? Oh boy, we're gonna do that. We're gonna do that on an I've never seen probably.
Sweet.
Really funny and just kind of it's like an early 2000s, maybe even 90s comedy about these guys who are just skateboard, and it doesn't have any right to be as funny as it is. Like it seems like it should just be like a stupid kind of throwaway, almost American Pie sequel, to be honest. But I think it elevates itself above that. And becomes kind of a comfort thing for me. But yeah, and then like skate videos, like, yeah, right. I watched that all the time as a kid, and then I would go skateboarding. It would just remind me of those times, and so that's a nostalgic factor and a comfort level for me. So yeah, Grind.
Number five for the Sean or AJ. What about you, number four?
Number five. I'm number five. You don't want to hear my number four.
No.
Okay, fine.
It was Grind, obviously,
wasn't it? Was Grind, yeah. but mine was dance movie. No, so mine will have kind of like a roller coaster effect here. Okay, like I say, I think the perfect movie for watching on an airplane should be able to hold your attention just enough that you care, but you don't care enough that you have to finish it in case you get cut off. Right? That being said, a little bit of a roller coaster here, and you'll see. So I'll leave this one. This is what beat out Death Sentence, and it's Into the Furnace.
Oh,
if you can watch this on an airplane, one time I just downloaded it, and I was like, oh yeah, this is on some streaming platform for a while. So I downloaded it on my phone and watched it. And it's creepy enough. It's kind of on the edge of your seat a little bit. It's such a great, great movie. To another Christian Bale movie, mm-hmm. With Casey Affleck. I think Casey Affleck's amazing in this movie.
Stacked cast.
Woody Harrelson. I mean, Willem Dafoe. You've got an insanely stacked cast on
Zoe
this.
Zoe Saldana.
Oh, dude. It is such a good movie. And it's one that I want to pick up every now and again, but it's just a little too heavy.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
just like, I'm going to throw that on.
Yeah.
yeah. Into the Furnace. That sounds good. I'll just watch that one. So, but if you're on a plane and you're drinking, you're like, you know what? Let's go down. Fucking drink and just watch Into the Furnace.
I don't care. We're going Into the Furnace, into the fire, furnace, baby.
So that's Into the Furnace. That's my number five.
That's got one scene in there. I think it's been suggested sometimes when we've talked about it to do top five movie scenes.
Yes.
Like your top Woo. Five scenes in any movie. That's got one of them for me, to be honest, of Spoilers. Christian Bale Jeez. And Zoe Saldana. Mm. The scene where he comes back from something,
yeah,
and she's kind of moved on with her life a little bit.
Yeah,
it is heartbreaking and heart wrenching, but I love that scene.
There's so many moments like that, and I think there's an equal one of Casey Affleck just like screaming into his shirt, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
It's heartbreaking watching Christian Bale's character just like walk through all of this, mm-hmm. you know. So, anyways, good, yeah.
My five, I'm going Royal Tenenbaums.
Nice.
Really?
Basically any Wes Anderson movie really? For me, for that matter. For some reason, that whimsical nature of this movie in particular, the phenomenal cast. Like, again, I'm always nice buzz on an airplane. And I think about those moments that just kind of make me go... Like, you know, like a kind of a chuckle. Because, you know, nobody else can watch or see what you're... But, like, where you might actually laugh out loud... And then realize that, like, oh shit!
Oh, yeah, I'm around okay. people.
It's for in particular. This happened to me. It was the scene with Owen Wilson where he's being interviewed on TV, and he's like, "Wildcat, Wildcat, wow! I gotta go." And like, I remember watching that and just laughing out loud on a plane. Where Molly's like, "Jesus, like, chill out." You know, I don't know. It hour and 49 minute runtime. A lot of the flights we take from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, are about 2 hours yep. everywhere you gotta go.
Right.
Perfect movie for me to watch on a plane. Because I normally don't really hit play on that at home.
Yeah.
You know, but it's an airplane one. If I scroll past it, I'm like, you're getting to the end, the R's, you're like, I haven't found anything yet. Here you go, Royal Tenenbaums.
So. I tried this with Asteroid City.
Okay.
And it did not work out.
I understand.
It was just too dry.
Yep.
And it was just... Oh, and then I'm pretty sure after that, that's when I found Equalizer 3.
We got to go to Michael Giuliano's number five. He says Limitless from 2011. I have no reason for picking this other than calling it a gut feeling. On paper, though, it's the perfect airplane movie. It's not part of a series. We don't talk about the TV show. Mm-hmm. It has a brisk runtime, and it's got a simple yet interesting premise. A guy takes a pill that lets him use 100% of his brain. Basically, it's the type of movie you'd like to watch, but wouldn't want to shell out $20 for a movie ticket to see it, making it perfect as an airplane or streaming movie. Plus, it's a lot better than most people remember it to be. If you still haven't seen it, it's worth checking out.
Great
Limitless,
choice.
Number five.
I wholeheartedly agree with that pick. Yeah. That's an awesome pick. Yes.
What do you got for number four, Sean?
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.
noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Number four, this is going to be some action. And yeah, I just need stupid, turn off your brain. Just feed me violence and feed me car crashes and feed me whatever. Jason Statham in the Crank movies.
The Crank movies.
Crank 1 and 2, you give me either of them, they don't matter.
It doesn't matter.
He's doing the same thing in both. It's the same filmmakers, the same crazy ass action, wonderful adventures. Amy Smart as the girlfriend in it is amazing. We love Amy Smart on this show. Yeah, turn off my brain and let this take me to Portland, take me to LA, take me wherever the fuck I'm going. And
so you don't watch it on the way home though. Coming home, it's the way there. There's a difference in movies you watch.
That's
there
a good
too.
Point.
Because if I'm going home, I want something depressing because I'm fucking depressed because I have to go home. So. You know,
maybe that is the distinction between some of mine here. Actually.
These are all way there movies. Usually way home, like, fuck this. I'm
true.
Sleep.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. The way there, it's tough to get through a movie. Yeah. Man, you're right.
Number four for AJ. What do you got, man?
So the two that will fall into this kind of category could probably be interchangeable. I'll be honest with you. But I'll go this route. I'll go Dan in Real Life.
Nice. Okay. Hell yeah.
It's such a good movie, and I have a serious thing for these types of movies. Like, these are kind of, they're not depressing movies, but they're the equivalent of like a 68 degree gloomy day.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent of what a Dan in Real Life movie is, you know? And because you kind of like it. You kind of like being inside of this for just a moment because it's a nice break. And you know that, like, when the sun is shining the next day, it's going to be really nice out. But at this point, you're just like, I'll take this for what it is. And watching Dan in Real Life, I have to get my Steve Carell in there. Mm-hmm. Dane Cook has a surprisingly, like, lovable character, like, kind of a role in this. And, you know, I like Dane Cook when he gets a shot to do something like this. And, you know, this is... It just kind of makes you, it's the relationship thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at your relationships and your friends and your family and all this stuff and how you all kind of coincide. And it's about this kind of family reunion vibe. But at the same time, it's just this family get together. It's something very lovable about the movie that you want everyone to win so much. And I think that is just one of those movies. It's not bland. I'm not saying it's dull, but it's a great watch, and it's a great story to be told.
Early Emily Blunt, really good in it. Yeah. It makes me wonder, too, like, because Steve Carell's in it. Like, did he hook them up? Because he was still doing The Office.
Ooh.
I know.
Why don't you stop by set?
Yeah. Hey, come by The Office and meet this guy.
No. That is
maybe this will be a top five. That is my girlfriend, fiance, or wife is out of town movie.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I don't know why.
I like these categories. I really do.
This is the categories we need that you guys want to hear. Trust me, you want to hear these categories.
We're everyday Joes, just like you, man.
My number four is actually Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Comedies being big winners for me on planes. I'm generally in a good mood. I'm keeping spirits up. I love comedies, but for some reason, every time I watch Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I'm like, why haven't I watched this recently?
Yeah.
It's so good.
Why don't we hang out anymore?
Why don't we hang out?
It seems to always be available on planes for some reason. And, you know, like, you're getting about a third of the way through, and you're like, a couple good options. You get to the F's. Forgetting Sarah Marshall's there. The cover. Let's go.
You're in a tropical place.
Guaranteed
going
laughs. Travel related. 100%. Kind of like, I'm usually going somewhere warm or whatever, and I want to get in the fucking vibe, you know? So... Forgetting Sarah Marshall's one of my go-to comedies.
Nice.
Michael Giuliano says, number four, Inception. I'm going to agree with this. This is by no means my favorite Christopher Nolan movie, like Confused Breakfast Gang. Mine is The Prestige, which could also be a great airplane movie.
Very much
100%.
So.
In fact, every time I watch it, I feel like I find something new to nitpick about. But at the same time, that means that each time I watch it, I'm noticing something new that I didn't see before. Plus, all the action in the last half of the movie technically takes place on an airplane. So there's a little fun tie-in right there.
Nice. There you go. Yeah.
I left The Prestige off on purpose. Yep. I'll be honest with you. Yep. But that's a great call.
Number three, what you got, Sean?
Number three, let's go with this. I have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood downloaded on my phone to watch on airplane specifically. It's a fun summer vibe.
Yes, it is.
It is not my choice. I am going with another movie.
Okay.
it's from A24. It's an early A24 movie, early Timothy Chalamet and Hot Summer Nights. Have you guys seen this movie?
No.
I really highly recommend the first three-fourths of it.
Okay. Gotcha, gotcha.
So this is like a short plane ride.
We didn't finish it.
Cool summer, small town vibes. But it just kind of falls off at the end for me.
Gotcha.
It's just like, where the fuck? I love, absolutely love. It would be one of my favorite movies probably if it stuck the landing. But I don't care. I'll watch it anyway because those three-fourths are so fucking good. This filmmaker was definitely inspired by Martin Scorsese and Paul Thomas Anderson, because it's really fast, kinetic kind of filmmaking. It's just about Timothy Chalamet is hanging out in this small town for the summer and meets this guy who's kind of like the mysterious James Dean type of this town, who fucks every girl. Yeah. You know, there's like legends about him, and he's a weed dealer. And so Timothy Chalamet becomes like his number two pretty much, and they become good friends and get into some shenanigans. Love this movie. Check it out if you haven't, and just I'm sorry about the ending.
It's fine.
Yeah.
If you want something to stick the landing, just worry about your plane sticking the landing.
Yeah,
don't worry about this movie.
Man, we are good at this.
God damn it, Mike.
Fuck yeah.
You can't have two things sticking the landing at once, okay?
Yeah, they cancel each other out. So it's,
if you're watching a plane movie, just turn it off before the end comes.
Yeah.
What's your three, AJ?
My number three. I love this because I love the story that's behind it, and it's John Wick 3.
Nice.
Okay.
I remember watching this. Maybe I told you guys this already, but like me and Alicia were on our way to wherever, just somewhere when this movie came out. And, we were, we're just sitting there, and Alicia will just like look over. John Wick had just come out. It's on United's app or whatever on their in-flight entertainment on their little TV, and I've got it up on this TV, and like every now and again Alicia would just look over and just be like, oh my god, like what are you on? I was like, John Wick 3. It's like like you can tell she just wanted to like block the screen like with horse blinders.
She's
or
watching
something.
Notting Hill, and
it's dark, like it's like a nighttime flight, something right. like that I don't know. But John Wick 3, it's kind of in line with, I just need some senseless, almost obnoxious action. But you have some amazing scenes in this one from I say number three specifically, that's the one with like the knife fight.
Yeah, dude.
The library fight. Like it is so well done. You do not watch like a lot of the John Wick movies necessarily for the story. Not to say that it's lackluster, but number three came back after number two, which I felt was like,
yeah.
Number three was like, fuck yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good action. Keanu Reeves is such a badass. I will never, ever detract from that man's ability to perform an action scene. So John Wick 3, maybe don't watch it around, kids, I guess. That's it.
Yeah. Just pay attention to who's sitting next to you in the seat.
Yeah.
But if you are sitting next to a kid, fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him. I don't care that your kid is two rows behind and three seats over, and he has a direct viewing line to my TV.
Don't care.
It's my fucking TV.
Yeah. We are all trying to survive.
It's actually United's fault for putting it available to play.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's not my fault that it showed up on their in-flight entertainment. I paid for it.
Don't talk to me. Talk to Frank United.
Yeah, talk to Frankie United. While I enjoy my second double buffalo trace on the rocks.
Woodford usually for me.
Woodford,
that's usually there's
that
no the cedar ridge on planes.
They don't have ridge,
whatever. My number three is Snatch.
Fuck yeah.
And like listen, like any guy Richie, but Snatch, when it comes down to it, is one of my favorite movies of all time. It's perfect blend. It's action, it's comedy, it's good storyline, but I know it so well that I got to go to the bathroom give me that double Woodford. Yep. Like it's enough to immerse myself in it, but I don't need to pay full attention anymore. It's just one of the best, easiest movies to watch on a plane. Like, it's so easy to just hit, oh, snatch. Heck yeah.
There's so many different, like, intertwining storylines as well. Like, kind of like a Tarantino movie, I guess.
But don't have,
like,
to finish it.
Really, like, don't. Like, the scene comes up that's your favorite, and you're kind of good. Yeah. But, like, yeah, you're right. I think it's, like, crime movie as well. Great crime movie. I love all the characters in the movie.
You're just kind of excited that the next scene does get to play. It's like, oh, cool. Before I have to shut it off, you know? It's fine.
There's Brad Pitt as a peak specimen of physical body. Okay, yeah. No big deal.
That he is peak male physical performance.
Yes, he is.
It's just what it is. I agree with you 100%.
Number three from Michael Giuliano. He says Knives Out 2019.
Ooh, good call. Played.
Also note, if you're feeling nostalgic, you can easily swap this with Murder on the Orient Express 1974. Not as funny, but it still holds up.
I'm with you.
Like with Limitless, you're dealing with a movie that comes with no strings attached. You get a mystery, some comedy, a tiny bit of action, an absolute murderer's row of a cast, all while being relatively clean, so to speak, so you won't be scaring off the person next to you. And if you decide that you liked it enough, you know that you already have a sequel out there that you can check out on your next flight.
There you go.
So I think that's a good choice from Michael.
Well done, that. Man.
Two from Sean.
I'm going to go with, I mentioned kind of guitar porn earlier, and this is going to be it for me. It's a comfort level. You got Ralph Macchio in Crossroads.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, dude.
That is not what I expected to come up on
Steve
this.
Steve Vai. Yeah, man.
Good road movie as well. Him and, I forget the other actor's name it's like his trainer or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's a road movie, a cool, like, hero kind of is getting his goods, you know, or like getting to be the one of the greatest at whatever he's doing. And then, you know, just the ending, like, showdown fight pretty much in this movie is against Steve Vai. And it's really just really, really cool to see.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love a close up of a beautiful guitar. I don't know what to say.
Especially somebody actually playing a beautiful guitar. And the other thing, too, you know, because Steve Vai wrote all the guitar parts for that movie.
Okay.
So, like, whether it's Ralph Macchio playing it or Steve Vai or somebody else, like,
he's playing it.
He's pretty much playing it. Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Are you talking about Joe Seneca?
I think so. The Black.
Who's Willie Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you got Jamie Gertz in it. I mean, come on, you know.
Love me the Gertz.
Jamie Gertz.
Give me some Gertz. AJ, what do you got for number two, bro?
All right, number two. This, like I say, we're up with that John Wick. Ooh. Now we're going right back down, and this is a movie called Stranger Than Fiction.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and so, again, this is kind of one of those, you know, kind of dreary day. I'm not sad. I'm just like, you know what? I just need something to identify with for a moment. But, you know, so you're like, all right, Stranger Than Fiction. But you get a comedy god like Will Ferrell and put him into a role like this, just like you did with Steve Carell and like Dan in real life. Then, I mean, it's a well-written movie. It's a fun movie. It's another all-star cast. This is the kind of stuff that if there's not going to be a lot of action, this is what's going to enthrall me enough as I'm into my like second drink or halfway through my third. If I've got that much time, like that, I'm just like, yeah, man.
Life's rough.
You know, like, and they're just like, man, you got to do it. Crick, you got to do it, man. You have to die. I get it, man. We all have to die.
We all die, right?
Like, that's just the kind of shit, though, that you love. And I honestly, there is something about the chemistry between him and Maggie Gyllenhaal that just gives me hope for life.
She seems to always just have chemistry with anybody.
It's
like
crazy.
A crazy heart with Jeff Bridges. Yeah. I'm like, how? How do you guys have chemistry right now? Mm-hmm.
Like
you do.
And it's this will sound bad, but it's like it's not like I find her to be like the most attractive person on the planet, but I'm like, everything you do is wonderful and gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you do it, Maggie Gyllenhaal?
It's that Gyllenhaal gene.
The Gyllenhaal genes.
Oh, yeah.
Man, okay. Let's see some more of that in Roadhouse coming up, baby.
Yeah, dude.
The scene where, like, they fuck.
Yeah. Him playing guitar.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd go the whole wide world.
Yeah.
Love that song. It's such a great scene. But even, like, Dustin Hoffman in it, too. Is really underrated in it as just like the literary professor. I love how he's like, she said, little do you know, I did a whole dissertation on Little Dude.
Little did you know?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why that line sticks with me so much.
But. It's such a great movie because I love movies that will take something so small and make something so big out of them. And that's what this movie does. So yeah, Stranger Than Fiction, man.
My two is Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
And I know that that's like I know that's a weird maybe choice, but it's like the epitome of a movie that I've seen so many times that I'm never going to waste a time at home. I'm never going to hit play on it at home because I have so many other things to watch.
I hit play on that movie all the fucking time. Every time it fucking pops up.
We're a little different on that.
I know.
But like, this is like filmmaking at its finest. I will always try to hit play on any of the Ocean's movies because it is so damn good. It's fun. It's relaxed. It's great. Amazing cast. I don't care. I will always hit play on one of those movies.
Steven Soderbergh is Guy Ritchie with soft edges, man.
Yeah.
And that's the way the way he makes a movie is so much fun.
I watched that on the way to Vegas both times to Vegas. You just have to.
Yes.
That and Heart 8. I had those two movies downloaded to when we went to Vegas for your bachelor party, AJ.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I watched on the plane.
God, that's another great movie.
I love that movie.
Oh, yes.
Michael Giuliano's number two, he's going with Fight Club. He says the argument could definitely be made to put this in the number one spot. It's really just a matter of how comfortable you are knowing the person next to you can see your screen. There really isn't that much bad stuff per se, but you know that the one time the little old lady sitting next to you looks up from her book to sneak a peek at what you're watching, it's going to be when Brad Pitt is explaining what a cigarette burn is and a random dick pops up on the screen. Anyways, this movie is particularly great for red eye or overnight flights when you're already wired and torn between trying to power through or staying awake or trying to fall asleep. Just the beginning part of this movie is enough to suck you in when you can really relate to the exhausted narrator, constantly being shuffled from flight to flight, talking about living out of his suitcase and how miserable it all is. If you're in the right frame of mind, by the time Tyler Durden shows up, you might be hoping for your own version of Tyler to appear in the seat next to you as well, until you realize how horrible that is. I would say Fight Club for sure, but I also don't want anything to do with airplane crashes.
Mid-air collision.
And that is the one problem where I'm not putting that movie on my list.
I don't need to think that hard about it. Right.
I'll argue for your case as well because you said, bring her down. Is a bring her down movie. Like, fuck it.
All had those moments. Yeah. So there is a time and place for that.
Yeah, and then also, I think he said earlier as well, that I find something different about that movie.
Correct.
Every time I watch it.
So that will be coming up soon for us. And I purposely have not watched Fight Club in 4 years.
Same here.
I cannot wait for our review of it.
Hell yeah.
Down to the number ones. What do you got, Sean? Well, you guys know my cat, Sergeant Meowenstein. I talk about him a lot. He's probably the most famous cat in Iowa, I would say.
Yeah.
You clearly know I love him. All you have to do is take one look at my Instagram to figure that out. But what you may not know is that I was very anti-cats. Always a dog person growing up. But from the minute my wife forced this cat into my life, I can't imagine not having him with us every day. I bet you can't imagine being without your pet either. But here's something you can imagine. You're at the vet's office again, knowing that vet care costs continue to rise. You're anxiously waiting to hear how expensive the bill will be. But if you had pet insurance, your pet could be covered for accidents or illnesses. That's why you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/breakfast. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/breakfast. One more time, aspcapetinsurance.com/breakfast. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Number one, man. I don't know what it is about sequels.
Oh.
But they are a great plane movie for me. And this is a comfort one. This is a comedy that will just never not be entertaining. It's not even like the funniest movie ever made. It is just... It just does what it needs to do, and that's Wayne's World 2.
Wayne's
World 2.
I don't know. You got Chris Farley in there, right? Yeah, Chris Farley.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. I don't know. And, like, the Doors guy. I just like the story of this one a lot. And, like, all the scenes where he's meeting Cassandra's father is amazing.
Is that James Wan?
Yeah.
James Wan.
Yeah. Fantastic. I don't know. This is just one that my mom, my brother, and I would go to when we're just like, oh, let's do a movie night. Mm-hmm. We would go to this one often. And mm-hmm. It will just fill me with joy anytime. There was my fiance and I have this like note or a question a day for couples or whatever, mm-hmm. this like notebook. And one of them was like, what movie do you want to watch right now? And Wayne's World 2 was it. It's like the first thing I thought of. I'm like, well,
Wayne's World 2.
That's got to be it. I don't know why. But yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Don't you have something you want to show?
Oh yeah, we got this stuff from the
Good Timing,
the art of Dan Kelly. Yeah. He gave us a bunch of really cool artwork, and then he gave us some like pretty much cue cards that say "We're not worthy." Party on!
Yes.
What am I gonna do with the gun rack?
What a great line!
He blows goats. I have proof. Schwing, and excuse me, baking powder. It's just cue cards with these on it. It's fucking
so
great.
Good.
We're definitely going to use these for our show.
The Art of Dan Kelly. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, dude, thank you so much. Everything you sent us was gorgeous.
Yes.
AJ, you're down to number one. What do you got, man?
So Guy Ritchie has been brought up here already. It's funny. My brother and I, when we were on our way to a impromptu flight to Heathrow Airport, since we missed one to Portugal from Chicago, we both decided to hit play at the exact same time.
That's a fun moment.
On a movie called Wrath of Man.
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
Wrath of Man is a Jason Statham movie from Guy Ritchie that it turns out Guy Ritchie must have had some sort of contract with somebody to say, you owe us one more movie. He was like, oh, fuck. And so he came out with Wrath of Man. And Wrath of Man only belongs on United or American or whoever or British Airways.
Whatever.
Their in-flight free entertainment. So it's not Wrath of Man. It's, in fact, The Gentleman. That's my number one.
Oh, well, hell yeah. Okay.
So if you see Wrath of Man, watch it and then try and watch it and let me know what you think. It's not good, guys. But The Gentleman... with Matthew McConaughey and another just stacked cast is top tier fun moments, fun action, Guy Ritchie shenanigans in London movie. Have you guys seen The Gentleman?
Yeah, I watched this in theaters and was shocked at how much I loved it.
It is
super fun.
It is obnoxious how much you knew it. Charlie Hunnam, Hugh Grant, Colin Farrell, amazing, amazing movie, guys. It's super fun. It's like a modern day Snatch to me.
Yeah.
But it is Matthew McConaughey, who is a weed kingpin. Maybe he's trying to get out of the game. Maybe he's not. Who knows? And everything that's going on around him. Fuck, it's a good movie. It is such a good movie. And but the only time I've watched it, in all honesty, I'm pretty sure, has been on airplanes. I've watched it twice on airplanes.
Nice.
So, The Gentleman, Guy Ritchie, such a great movie. If you haven't seen it, then you just need to go click play on it right now.
Well, there's something about watching a movie for the first time on an airplane. That's very mm-hmm. anti-me. I want comfort. I want to know what I'm getting into. I don't want to have to waste this time watching something that I don't really like
sure.
clicking Wrath of Man or whatever.
Oh, dude. Me and Bob stuck through it the entire way. And the moment we both did this, we took out our headphones and... Bob looks over and it's dead night. It's nighttime on this plane. And he just leans over. He's like, that wasn't any fucking good.
I know.
I was like, no, it wasn't.
Let's do something different. But that's why it's rare for me to tell you what my number one is, because it's probably one of the first and only times I ever hit play on a brand new movie without knowing anything about it. And it worked out so well. It's The Nice Guys.
You bet.
Oh, wow.
Listen, I hit play on this. I've watched this movie four times in my life. every time on a plane.
There you go.
Because it has become like a tradition for me to be on a plane and watch this fucking brilliant movie. It is pure comedy. It will, if you've never seen it, it will completely take you by surprise by how goddamn good it is. The soundtrack, Gosling and Russell Crowe, probably at the peak of anything they've ever done in their life in this movie.
Yeah.
And this was like a movie where I was laughing out loud, where Molly's like, what are you watching? Like, people were even kind of like turning around because I was so into this movie. It was like the perfect mind frame. And I think I'll probably never watch it unless I'm on a plane. Like, I think I have to continue this tradition at this point. The Nice Guys is my number one.
I saw it in theaters when it came out, and I was the only one in there. Like, this movie did...
I don't know why nobody saw that movie.
It's it's beginning, I think, to become like a cult hit. I hope, anyway.
I think so.
I think people are starting to like really watch it, but man, I fucking loved it. I mean, Shane Black, dude. Ugh, amazing. What? Like, I think Ryan Gosling getting nominated for Barbie this year is comeuppance for not getting not winning Best Actor for The Nice Guys.
The Oscars get it wrong every year. Yeah. They get it wrong every year, and they always have to play retribution games.
Yeah.
That's why it sucks. The Oscars are so dumb.
That is like, one of the best comedic performances I have ever seen in my life. It may be the best, to be honest.
I agree.
You're going to go into the doctor and make sure you're going to go in and tell him that you have a torn rotator cuff. He's like, what? No. That's a lot of blood.
Literally. Yeah. That's a lot of blood. And the way he's like freaking out on the ambulance.
It is like maybe one of the top performances that I've ever seen from a guy like that. It's basically the Ryan Reynolds kind of effect.
Yes.
Where like you're too good looking and like an action star to be doing this role.
Yep.
And I'm so mad I fucking love it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So number one from Michael Giuliano, executive producer for today's episode, he says, Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, nice.
Great. Said, okay, it may be a little predictable, but you can't deny there's something fun about watching a movie about flying while you're flying, right? And while the movie isn't 100% about planes, a good chunk revolves around Frank's first big con where he pretends to be a pilot, pivoting into the Pan Am check cashing scam. One of Spielberg's less appreciated movies. It's got a lot going for it. Travel montages, star-studded cast, John Williams score, some good old-fashioned emotion. Just enough to keep you entertained for over 2 hours, but not so much that you'll be ugly crying and embarrassing yourself in front of a bunch of strangers. Fair. Honestly, as I'm writing this, I'm realizing that a lot of post-2000 Spielberg fit the bill for airplane movies. Ooh, pretty perfectly.
Yeah, good call.
So if you're ever in a pinch, maybe just check out the tomato meter and see which one looks best for you.
Nice.
Respect, bro.
Thanks like for being with us, Michael. Always nice to have you here as an executive producer. If you guys want to learn more about our supporting this podcast, Patreon tiers, like we said, patreon.com/confusedbreakfast is pretty much the fuel that powers us into two episodes a week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe three someday. Who knows?
Who knows?
We're just throwing it out there.
We would love to. Just so you know, we would love to do that.
We really would. We need your help. Once again, we're asking for
your help. For the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you too can support three local Joes in their dreams of podcast movie.
They're now legislated task in removing spots from Dalmatian.
Yes.
Yes.
We got a lot of work on our hands here at this point, so you need to help us.
Please.
Cool. Well, we'll see you next time. Thanks for being here. Goodbye.
Love you. Goodbye. Love you.
Safe travels.
Oh, dude, you got it.
You might be listening to this on an airplane.
I hope it lands. Are we your airplane podcast?
Whoa.
If we are, thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.